Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Business update with Gule Tumfupi on Kaya 959.
She brings you Kaya Biz, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. Now, Gugu, we always speaking about this mall. First, we spoke about how atrociously built it is and people get lost in it. Then we spoke about how the occupancy rates is pretty low. Then you said there was a bit of a recovery, and now it seems the owners of Four Ways Mall are failing to raise funds.
If ever there was a case study for us to investigate as financial journalists, I definitely think that this is one. There's so many layers to this particular story. But MoneyWeb has just published another article giving us an update on the ownership of Four Ways Mall. Now, currently it is, as you've stated, you know, a mall that has been plagued by several challenges for quite some time now. It is one of the largest malls in South Africa with more than 178,000 square meters of gross leasable area. But in terms of dwell time, traffic and vacancies, that's where they continue to struggle with just the lack of having to attract the right customers to their center. But ownership also seems to have come through at the fore now. One of the major concerns with Four Ways Mall is just in terms of its capital structure and what's required as the necessary capital to keep the operations going. It's currently owned by both Accelerate Property Fund, who own at least a 50% stake in the business, but also privately owned by a gentleman called Michael Giorgio. He has a 50% stakeholding in the business through his company called Ezra Part. Now, there's various trust and structures that can be put in place in order to enhance his ownership, but essentially where they've fallen out is that now, Ezra Part has been placed under business rescue. Reason being, the two shareholders were meant to put up together 2 billion rand just in terms of required capital to keep the operations going. As apart from what we know, has since been trying to dispose of alternative assets and properties they own locally and abroad in order to raise that capital. Beyond that, they've also approached several banks and other institutions using Four Ways Mall as security to raise the very same capital they need for the actual mall. Now, some other shareholders took exception to that, specifically the likes of RMB and a few other counterparts, and have since taken as a part to court several times, essentially highlighting concerns that, number one, they haven't received the necessary capital that's required from this partner as a shareholder. They also haven't received any proof of this, despite as a part coming forward to say that they are disposing several assets and funds. Since then, there's been a significant level of introductions. Number one, as a part, and Michael Giorgio in particular, has had to reduce his shareholding within Four Ways Mall. And also on that, now that Investec and RMB have actually gone to the courts to place as a part in business rescue. This raises a lot of concerns around where alternative capital will come from. We've been told that Accelerate Property Fund is actually going to do a rights issue, which essentially means raising money on the public market to make sure that they can cover the shortfall from the other shareholder. So lots of complexities, lots of concerns, because if this does continue and as a part is placed in business rescue, it raises a lot of questions as to how they'll be able to try to raise the right capital. And most importantly, if it might actually be pushed out as a shareholder after some time, just given the concerns regarding the capital raising requirements that would be needed to keep the business going. So lots of layers to this, not only in terms of its operational functions and structures, but also when it comes to the shareholding and ownership of the business.
Yeah. And let me just add, you remember about 2 to 3 years ago, we spoke about the demise of old man Giorgio, right? Who was the founder of Accelerated Property Fund. Mm-hmm. And he was the one that used to run. I think at some point they owned just over 50% of all commercial property in Gauteng. And, you know, you and I have spoken ad nauseum about how when founders tend to pass away, the succession of the business, provided that the people that take over maybe are not as well versed in the business as a founder was, the business does tend to falter somewhat. And so I think we're seeing that now.
100%. There are a number of entities we can refer to. Ellie's, Pick and Pay, they put some plans in motion right now, but you're quite right. Sometimes it's the founding father and the statement and I guess vision of the business that does continue to live on whilst they are still present and involved in the business. But yeah, a case study of note.
100%. Now, when you started off the open line, somebody asked about why it is that I always recommend people getting into fruits just as a start-off business. And South African grapes are enjoying a very favorable market in the U.S. in terms of exports. South African grapes have always done well. That's why we've got, for example, Stellenbosch. That's why so many of the wines get made here. Tell us more about that.
You're right. And when it comes to food production, essentially everyone, as long as there's a population of people who are living, you'll always have a market in order to sell consumable goods to them. But when it does come to grapes specifically, it does seem as though South Africa continues to see a boom in this market. The South African table grape industry recently published their numbers for the 2024-25 season. And essentially, they say that they saw a rise in their exports to the US and Canada specifically, up by 25%. Now, this is significant because you would recall that at least within the first quarter of this year, what we've experienced is ongoing tensions, concerns, and conversations around our trade ties and trade relationships specifically with the U.S. Donald Trump had imposed a 31% tariffs right across the spectrum. That in itself would have a significant knock and consequence on a number of items we export to the U.S., not only agriculture, but even if you think of certain exemptions that might have applied to metals, but also in the automotive sector as well. Despite this, though, the South African table grape industry is quite confident that there could be progress and further leeway for them to actually maneuver the dynamics regarding the trade relations. But of course, just in terms of the demand, that there's still a strong appetite for South African grapes within that international market. So we're looking forward to seeing what more comes out of these outcomes. Of course, we're looking and watching closely to see the developments of the trade talks between South Africa and the U.S. following our visit to Washington. But in the meantime, it does seem as though other markets are opening up in the UAE as well as Europe specifically, which also contributed significantly to our export numbers.
Thank you very much. And what are the markets looking like in general?
Markets overall, all-time highs for the All Share Index are maintained. 97,029 points is where we'll open up from today. Internationally, things have been calm for now.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. As I said, she brings you Kaya Biz Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m.
Business Update with Goulash Mfupi on Kaya 959. If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.